This is Hawkseye Guns Podcast. What is up, y'all? It is another timely edition of Hawkseye Guns. See, I even remembered the right name of the cast. I had to pause for a second, but I remembered the right name of the cast. Jake, how are you doing this morning, or this afternoon, sorry?
Once again, showing up in our incredibly predictable, sporadic fashion.
Absolutely. I am just happy to be here, and like I remembered everything, took a nap before the cast. It's great, you know?
That's because you wanted to talk about the fact that I found your Han Solo gun and then it was sold out.
Oh my God. So for those of you who are not familiar with Jake and I's method and form of communication, we primarily communicate between TikTok videos during the week and sometimes random text messages with Instagram links in them or something. And so I'm working away the other day.
Well, basically our entire level of communication is basically boils down to, hey, look at this.
Exactly. Right. Which is about how middle-aged men communicate. We don't need a lot of fluff. Okay. Here's some stuff. You should look at that when you have time. And then I'll look at your stuff. It's perfectly. That's how men communicate. So I was working away the other day and up comes this link and it's like, hey, I found your gun. And sure enough, he did. And tell him what you did, Jake, because I almost lost $1,500 if this thing was in stock.
Well, I sent him a link for what it basically boiled down to was somebody had taken an AR lower and some sort of custom upper, and with a 22. Caliber magazine and all that, and basically had machined out and made what looked like Han Solo's pistol. It had the right grip on it. The only thing it was missing, which you could easily do with one of those little offset Picatinny scope holders, was the scope on the top of his pistol. Other than that, it was almost perfect.
Yeah,
and I sent it to him, and the next message I get is, "Fuck you, it's sold out."
It sucks. What's funny is I started researching who else makes this. I'm like, somebody else has got to be doing an AR lower with this upper and the compensator and all the stuff. Like, somebody's got to have this.
I think the only thing that should really be that hard to find is that grip for an AR.
Well, I did find it. Kanto Arms has it, and it's in stock. So if you search,
there's a however there.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's $1,000. It is $1,000, and
just
it's
the grip.
No. The whole gun. Okay. The whole gun, you can get it with the C96 broomstick handle and it's in 22 long rifle. It's almost exactly perfect. It's got an AR standard platform lower. It's Cerakoted in the correct black. And all the things. But once you get it into the cart and once you kind of, you know, go to check out, there's a 6-month wait on the sucker. And it's like, well, I'm not doing that. like, damn it.
The thing you got to have with the upper, and there is a name for it, and I'm drawing a blank. I've been sitting here trying to remember it. But it's one of those AR uppers that is more like an AK upper so that you don't need a buffer tube.
Oh, it's so fantastic. Yeah, and it is. It's kind of a hybrid style type thing. There's also one with a side mount or a side ring scope on it, so it's canted to the side like Solo's was. You can buy the scope for it, so you can get a pistol scope on it. It is so choice. It's just like, oh, man. Oh, I need that. I mean, like, there's a couple of them that, like different people make those, you know, the DL-44, you know, 22LR blaster is really what it comes down to. And there's several different versions of them. Kanto is the one I found that has it. But, you know, a lot of people, it's out of stock. And it's perfectly useless to me without the broom handle, right? Without the C96 wooden broom handle. I'm just
And that's what I said. That's got to be out of all the parts that you could have to find. Like, for example, you can find the lower, and I know they make the upper because there's people who just make basic AR pistols out of them. The two things that you'd have to find is the compensator that looks the way you want it to.
Correct.
And the grip.
Yeah, correct. I mean, that's just
if you
what
can
you
find
have.
Those two pieces, you can build this sucker without any hesitation.
Yeah, without breaking a sweat. You know, you could and just have it Cerakoted black and then do your pistol scope with your on your Picatinny up top, and you now have Han Solo's blaster, which, you know, has been a dream of mine.
Well, that's one of your white elephants.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I love it. I love
and
everything
about it.
For those
of you who aren't completely familiar with Sean, we are talking about something that he would have a custom leather drop leg holster built for
immediately, if not sooner. Yeah.
And be wandering around with it open carrying.
Oh, yeah. Because there's nobody my age who wouldn't know what the hell that is. Once I pulled it, you'd go, oh, my God. I would also make sure to wear the pants, you know, like with the yellow lines on the side and stuff like that. Just like every day, that would be common wear. You know, like
you'd walk into work like that, and your boss would look at you and go, "I get it."
Oh yeah, like he'd know what it is. He'd laugh at me, but
well,
he'd know what it
is. Not only that, but it wouldn't be like kind of like, dude, you can't come to work like that. It would be no, I get it.
Yeah, that's one of the good parts about having a guy who shoots as a boss. It's just fantastic. I was very upset that I was like, oh, because it was the one he'd sent me was perfect. I'm like it was just flat out perfect. But yeah, I was, that's kind of how we communicate during the week. I also have a slight update on the Browning BPS.
Okay.
Which is, completely refurbished and refinished.
That's what you sent me pictures of earlier.
Yes.
Today, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it looks pretty now.
It is gorgeous. I had it black. I had it, graphite black Cerakoted. Which is way overkill, but I wanted it to look pretty because I got it to shoot, right? Like I finally got it to shoot. I can get, you know, I can service the weapon. I can get it up and down as far as, you know, taking it apart, disassembly, reassembly, all that kind of stuff. I can get all that stuff done.
Okay, now forgive me for drawing a blank. I don't always remember the serial numbers, or not serial numbers, model numbers on the different shotguns. Is this the one that had the pin that you just had turned the wrong way for 20 years? Or
yes,
is this the one that was just a all-around POS that never made it that far that you kind of bought as a bang-up gun?
No, this was the one with the pin, the okay. Browning with the pin that I didn't know about when I owned it 10 years ago. And now I do know about it, and and of course, once the as I have said the last cast, once you know you put it together and you get the pin set correctly, it just goes click and right, it's done, right? It's no problem. And I'm like, oh, and now I feel dumb, you know.
You still wanted it to actually be somewhat more difficult than that, just to be able to prove that you weren't dumb.
A little bit, and it wasn't, because it's like super easy now that I know how to do it. And then so I redid the stocks, I put a new recoil pad on it, I had it completely Cerakoted. It looks like a new gun. In fact, it looks better than the ones that they sell currently. And
the picture you sent me was pretty gun.
Oh, it's gorgeous now. You know, it's really pretty, and I'm gonna shoot it for a little while and play with it. And I'll sell it. It's absolutely gorgeous, but I'll sell it. I don't need a full choked clay gun. You know, it's not, because it's got a barrel choke in it, like I had mentioned before. But it goes together wonderfully. It looks beautiful now. I wish I'd have taken pictures of it when I got it out of the barn, when it was all rusty and I couldn't run the action and couldn't move this pump action, because it looks, by the time I got done with it, it looks like a new gun, period. I mean, it literally looks flawless. And I was like, crap, I may have overcooked this. It now looks too nice, and I kind of don't want to sell it now.
Well, you can get more for it now.
I can get, and I only have, had $100 in it. Now that I Cerakoted it. By the way, DFW Gun Coatings, if you guys are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're not paying me to say this, but my boy Scott over there, beautiful work, beautiful work. The Cerakoting was just absolutely flawless. But there is nothing to report that is bad about that particular gun at the moment. So it was literally fantastic. So I was very happy with that.
Well, think about it this way. This will go into adding dollars and cents towards your next passion project.
It will. Cause I know like a new one goes for about $700-$800. I could probably, without breaking a sweat, get $500 or $600 for this thing. Cause it's Cerakoted and the new ones aren't, and it's basically indestructible. So I'll get my money back out of it. No problem. But, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, that project's done now. I shot
What's
it this
next?
Morning. Yeah, I shot it this morning. It looks great. Well, I did get... I went to a gun show with some friends the other day, and Buona was looking for a new home defense gun, basically. And his problem was he didn't want it to look too nice because he was going to cut the barrel off to 20 inches and use it as a home defense gun. So he's like, look, don't get anything too nice because I'm going to mess it up. I'm like, great. So I have to look for a gun that's nice, but not too nice, workable, but not beat up. And how much do you want to spend on this? He's like, $200. And I'm like, that is unreasonable, but okay.
Well, there's got to be a Maverick 80 there somewhere.
Yeah, but he didn't want a Maverick 88. And I'm like, okay, dude, I will go look. Searching this show, within 10 minutes, I find it. And I'm like, crap, that's it. I know it is. Because it's actually a Mossberg New Haven, which is the Magnum version of the Mossberg 500. So it holds, it's a 5+1. And it's old. It's made in the 70s. It's in fairly decent shape. But it used to have what they called a Select choke on it, which is basically a twisty dial-a-choke, which would constrict or open up the choke, and it was just like a turn ring on the choke on the outside. Well, somebody had broken that, and they'd just taken it off. So it was completely unshootable the way it is.
And, but if you're going to just saw the barrel off, then...
Right, unless you're going to, like our plan was, to just saw the damn barrel off, then it's fantastic, right? So, and I wound up...
And if he's going for a home defense gun... Just go for it and saw it down to 14 inches. Call it a day.
Well, 14 inches would actually be before the ring that connects to the mag tube, because the mag tube is, again, a 3-inch Magnum 5+1.
Okay, well, they just cut it off at the end of the mag tube.
He left a little bit extra, but yeah, it was. I got it for him. It was a little bit more than he wanted to spend. I couldn't get the guy down below 200. It was. I think he wanted 275 for it, or 270 for it, and I wound up getting him like 230.
And it's not too bad.
It was actually. It's not a bad gun, but Buona was thoroughly stoked about it, and cleaned it all up and saw the barrel off to 20 inches and just thoroughly pleased. So I was like, okay, cool. So we got that one. But one of the guns, and again, this is, my ass hanging out. One of the guns I got recently, When I say recently, I was talking about before our winter hiatus. I had said I'm going to slow down buying guns. Now I've now bought five.
Hey, remember, the only thing that has slowed me down is the fact that I don't have any extra cash to spend on them in the first place.
I was like, oh, crap, you know, like, I haven't slowed down at all. I swore I was going to slow down. I haven't slowed down.
And then you got people like me who send you pictures going, you know, you want one of these.
You know, you need this. You know, you're like, I can't get it. They won't have it. You know, one of the guns, and you guys will remember this because I think I even did this cast with Jake years ago. I talked about it on the show. I had, just because it was like a spring day and it was super nice a couple of years ago. I went out and purchased, just because I had cash in my pocket and I wanted a new shotgun, I went out and purchased a Winchester SXP trap.
Yes, I remember this.
And this was April of 21, as a matter of fact. And I took it out, and I was so excited. I got this awesome, cheap, you know, new clay gun, specifically designed for clays. And I couldn't hit anything with it. Nothing. It was terrible in every way. I hated it. I just had an awful time. And as it turns out, the problem I was having is that the rib on a trap gun is higher because you're shooting a greater distance. So you need to adjust for that. And I didn't know enough to. And I just couldn't make it work right because I just didn't understand how that happened.
So, and now that you figured this out, you had to go find another one in order to test the theory?
Well, what I did is here's the thing. I love Winchesters. I do. I love the 1200. And basically the SXP, which came out in 2013, I think. It's the Super X pump. That's what SXP stands for. It is the replacement to the Winchester 1200. It's been out for over 10 years now. It's fantastically reliable. It's a very nice gun. It's very balanced. They have like 100 different versions of them. But it is the replacement for the 1200. Now, for those of you who do not know this, the Winchester 1200 was the first shotgun I ever purchased. And it's what I learned to shoot a shotgun with. For the first 2 months.
So there's some nostalgia value.
There is a lot of nostalgia value with the Winchester 1200. And I'm like, okay, cool. I would like another 1200, but I want the modern version of it, which is the SXP. Now there's a problem with the SXP, and that is that kind of Winchester snobs will tell you that the SXP or the 1200 version of it that is currently available is not what they used to be, because the new guns for Winchester are made in Turkey, not in America.
Hey, the Turkish actually make some decent guns.
And that was kind of my point. I'm like, I am not scared at all about a Turkish-made firearm. In fact, they make some fine damn guns that I have sampled.
What was the argument? Was it the argument that the Turkish didn't make good guns, or was it the argument that it wasn't made in America?
I think a little of both. They're like, okay, well, I don't know about them Turkish guns. I'd rather have the 1200. And it's like, well, I get it. But there's a couple of things about that. One, I realize that the 1200 is American made. It's tried and true. It'll never break. It'll never have a problem. All those kinds of things. Totally get it. The thing about it is the SXP has more modern materials. It's a bit smoother than the old 1200. The trigger guard allows for you to shoot with gloves on. And quite honestly, it comes in more versions than the old 1200 did. Plus, the old 1200s, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them had barrel chokes if you get the older ones. And then the newer ones had screw-in chokes, but they were all wind choke, which, if you know anything about modern chokes, is a little bit difficult to get, like, the really cool, awesome extended chokes in a wind choke. So the modern one uses the Invicta Plus, which you can get absolutely anything for. So it's a little bit better material. And also, and this is kind of controversial and all that kind of thing, but the new SXP is basically an inertia-assisted shotgun. And I don't know if you're familiar with what that is.
I was trying to figure out why that would be controversial.
Well, if you're not used to it, if you don't understand what the gun is doing, it feels weird. Because if once you release the shot, the slide wants to kick back on you, right? Because it's using a little bitty tiny piece of the shot when it comes unbolted, or, you know, when the bolt comes unlocked, to push the slide back. If you just if you just hold it on your hip, don't touch the forearm, and fire the gun, the slide will come all the way back without you touching it.
Okay, so it's what I would think of talking about a semi-automatic rifle would be a direct blowback system.
Yeah, a lot like that.
Okay,
so it's inertia, quote unquote, inertia assisted.
Now, at the same time, the problem with a direct blowback system with a rifle is the fact that there's typically an added kick to it. Is that part of the problem with the shotgun as well?
Actually, no. It's the complete reverse. It's actually a very, very light recoiling shotgun, especially for a pump action. It feels a lot more like, if you let the gun run and do its job, it feels a lot more like an automatic than it does a pump action. And it's got a really cushy pad on the back of it. So it has reduced load on the recoil, and it's really, really fast for a pump action if you learn to do it. And it's just kind of a neat system. It's been around for a little while, like I said, about 10 years, and they've really gotten a lot better about it than it used to be. The issue is you're sitting amongst a field of giants. And then Winchester was also there. So like when you think of pump action shotguns, the titans of the industry is obviously Mossberg. You're not going to get around the Mossberg 500 and the 590 and stuff like that. Or like you're saying, the Maverick 88 or any of those guns. Like Mossberg's, at this point in 2024, Mossberg is the king of the hill for inexpensive pump action shotguns. Remington.
Well, yeah, because Remingtons you couldn't even find for almost like a couple of years.
Right. And they're back in bankruptcy, and they're technically, you know, I mean, they're shipping guns, but they're not making them. So they're taking all the parts and, you know, assembling as many as they can to kind of offset some of the bankruptcy costs and waiting for somebody to buy them again and all that stuff. Right. So Remington has definitely lost a step. Also, they have not been innovating, and Mossberg has, right? Mossberg has largely been innovating. Now, of course, it helps that you have the Michelin's, you know, going with you in lockstep with a lot of their shotgun design with the JM Pro. Though not a pump action shotgun, a lot of that technology bleeds into other guns. So, well,
but we've talked about it before. Mossberg was one of the first people to actually just flat out look at the competition shooters and say,
what do you want?
Would you change?
Yeah. What is it that would make it better for you?
And we're smart enough to actually listen. Now, other people have started to do that, but, and that's why you've actually got a bunch of really nice competition shooter handguns coming out as well these days.
Yeah, I mean,
hell, even the new one that's actually, I think, now got a contract with Tarrant, a tactical of all places, is Koenig.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like, it's kind of like, well, okay, you guys have been like pure Glock the whole way through. And it's not like you moved over to SIG or moved over to, you know, Smith & Wesson. You moved to Koenig?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Wow. That's going to be a boost for Koenig sales.
You'd think, you know, so this is... Like the market is moving a lot, and Remington really just didn't move with it. You know, they tried with the Fieldmaster, but it really, it just didn't move very well. So you're sitting in the middle of the 870, which has a large market. I have two of them. I love an 870. My you know, Buona has two Mossberg 500s at this point. Maybe it's three. I can't remember. He has several. If you want to step to the higher end, you know, you can walk into a Benelli, who makes a world-class pump-action shotgun. Several
an Italian classic.
An Italian classic, you know? And if you really want to get down to down and dirty in some of the best pump-action shotguns that are indestructible, you can go into the Nova series, either the Nova or the Supernova. And you're still, with the Nova at least, you're still under $400 if you shop hard. So walking into this marketplace is not exactly an easy place to sit, right? Because the bargain basement, Mossberg's got that locked up with the 88. The top of the market, Benelli has got it completely locked up with their offerings and everything. And Mossberg's coming right behind them. Plus, you've got all these other Turkish brands in there, and you got some Rock Islands and...
Question from the class.
Yeah.
Because I, in looking at some of the SHOT Show stuff that did, that went by, as much as a lot of it wasn't as spectacular as me, Beretta was walking around with a new shotgun that they were showing to everybody and supposedly getting. Is this a good thing?
Are you talking about the Patrolman?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically,
as I said, I'm asking you because I'm not up enough on shotguns to have known what I was looking at.
Okay, so the A300 Patrol is basically it's an automatic, but what they've done is they've taken the A300 Ultima, which is I had one for a long time. I actually sold it to my boss. It is, as far as I can tell, the A300 Ultima is the perfect blend. It's a gas operated system, but it is the perfect blend of not going to jam and very, very, very dependable. It's also reasonably inexpensive. If you get the like very low version, and I think you can, well, you used to be able to get them for about 800. I think they're more expensive than that now. But for a Beretta, that's pretty cheap. But what they did is they took the A300 Ultima platform and they said, we're going to make a short barreled tactical automatic, semi-automatic shotgun out of this. And what they came up with was the A300 Ultima Patrol. And it is, I think, and now it's a 7+1, I think it is going to wind up becoming one of the standards for police and kind of civilian tactical units, you know, like SWAT and stuff like that. It is fantastic because they use the 800, they use the 300 Ultima platform, which is tried and true and just as solid as a rock. So taking all of that and strapping a bunch of tactical stuff on it really wasn't that hard a play for them. And it really is good.
They all just looked really excited about it.
Everybody was very excited. I've used an A300. It's a great gun. But here's the thing. If you were looking for something that was cheaper than a Benelli.
That wasn't it?
No, it was totally it. Because, I mean, the Benelli, like an M2 is or an M4, whatever it is. The Benelli semi-automatic is like $1,800 to $2,000. This thing's $1,200. Less than if you shop hard, it's probably going to wind up being about $1,100 if you shop hard. So it's $700 to $800 cheaper than the Benelli, and it's just as reliable. So I think they're going to do a lot of. I think they're going to do a lot of these. I really do.
I know my brain is bouncing around like a flea today. With that said. Did you see how much Smith & Wesson wants for their new lever action fire 44?
No, I think we talked about it the other day, but I don't know.
But we hadn't seen one for sale.
No. Yet. Uh-uh.
Oh my God, I saw it listed for $2,500.
Holy crap. No.
Now, no. I have seen them start to say, we're on sale for like $1,900. It's kind of like, still.
Yeah, no. That's a lot.
For a Smith & Wesson lever action.
I don't think I can get there here.
You could almost, MSRP, you could get two Henrys for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
and therefore, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't, yeah, I'd take the Henry over the Smith every day of the week. I'd take two Henrys over the Smith every day of the week. If I was going to spend that, yeah. And one of them would be golden. because I like blingy guns.
Exactly.
But no, I hadn't heard that.
It's just for me to look at and feel pain about. I still have a couple of the emails coming in from some of the wholesalers that, you know, here, you can get this. Here, you can get that. Here, you can get this. And I when I saw that one come across, I was like, oh, okay, this is out of curiosity. Let's click on this one. And it was kind of like, no. this has to be a joke. They can't be serious.
Oh, it's Smith. They can be serious.
And then, as I said, I saw somewhere along the line, I think somebody looked at them and said exactly that. You can't be serious. Because next thing I know, I see on sale alert for like $1,900. And it's kind of like, still, uh-uh.
No, 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 no. That's insane. I'd take the Henry over that. You're right. I'd take the Henry all day, every day over that. Wow. Well, back to my shotgun thing here.
As I said, my brain is bouncing around like a flea. I apologize.
Please, it's the gun cast, sir. It's kind of expected, you know, like whatever pops into our head at the moment. But all that to say, the Winchester was dealing with a very stiff field of competition. And it was a little quirky with the inertia assisted thing, which I think a lot of people didn't really understand. And or could get the speed out of. And being not the cheapest, but not the most expensive, but on the relative and inexpensive side. And the thing you really have working against you is a bunch of people who had Winchester Model 12 or 1200s when they were a kid, like I did. Like I learned to shoot with one 10-ish years ago. Like you have that in your head and then you pick up this thing and the action is relatively the same. It feels the same. It's very smooth. But everything else about it is new and it's Turkish and you can tell because it's got Turkish walnut on it and it doesn't look like the old 1200 exactly. And you're just like, and a lot of old guys were just like, this doesn't feel like a 1200 anymore. And it's kind of not, it's better than an old 1200. And I've been using it for about two and change months now. I might have 600-700 rounds through it, so I've been using it quite extensively. And I got to tell you, I love the thing. I think it's great. It is way undervalued. You want to talk about a sleeper in its class? It's now once I got off the trap version and got the regular SXP field. It's been great. I love it. I mean, it's really well balanced. It's really well done. It's fast, you know, all those things. I think they're sitting in the middle of a field of giants and it's like, and Winchester was also there, which is funny to say, but
it's also one of those things. And you get a lot from some of the Turkish guns where, and even we'd run into it when I was working in the store where you get somebody who you sit there, they're like, I don't know what I want. Well, have you know, there's always a Glock. No, I'm not really comfortable with Glocks. How about a SIG? No, I'm not really comfortable with SIGs. And then you just have one of those crazy models over in the corner and you're like, have you considered this? And it turns out, next thing you know, they come in going, that thing is awesome. It's kind of like, more power to you, bud. If you're happy with it, I am happy for you. I'm happy we found what it was for you. But at the same time, it ends up being like one of those off brands off to the side that somebody's going that nobody will touch because it's the Turkish gun, the Czechoslovakian gun. There's something of that nature. And they're like, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange because, I mean, I've got, what is it? The CZ, okay? The CZ is technically a Czech brand, but the CZ 1012 that I have is made in Turkey. Like, it's a Czech gun made in Turkey imported to the U.S. The Winchester kind of follows that same thing. If nothing
else, the brand CZ in of itself kind of blows all of those arguments right out the water.
Oh,
it's kind of like,
sure,
you have an Eastern Bloc gun here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I love it. You know, Buona stole it. He stole that 1012. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. That you could not have convinced that man that a Czechoslovakian, Czechoslovakian-designed, Turkish-built gun was any good 10 years ago. Now it's all he shoots. He loves it. And it's like, okay, I don't understand what happened. Well, this is a quality firearm. Well, yes, it is. I can't believe you're shooting it. You know, Mr. I only shoot American-made firearms or Italian. Like what has happened here? You know, like, and it's funny because I gave Buona the Winchester SXP. Now, my father is an old school Winchester fan. He was part of that crowd going, I don't know, you know, like it's not an old 1200. It took him less than 5 minutes with it and he offered to buy it. He loved it.
Hey, at least he offered to buy it versus just kind of trying to sneak it into his car.
Well, it would be very difficult because he's sitting there with my CZ and my Winchester. Like, he wasn't going to take them both. But it's kind of funny. You know, like, Winchester's an American-made gun or American brand, Turkish-built in the case of the SXP. And it's a fantastic firearm. I've had zero problem with it. It's been lovely to shoot, lovely to clean. It's just delicately balanced and everything. And it's not pretty. I'll give you that. It's not the most gorgeous thing, but it's actually quite lovely. It's a wonderful field gun, and dragging it out to shoot clays with is absolutely lovely. And it's just like stuffed in the middle of this epic battle for pump gun supremacy, and it's clearly lost, right? Like, it's not in the winner's circle at all. And I think that's a little bit unfair, especially since somebody like Remington hasn't updated anything about the 870 in 50 years, you know, like nothing new has come out on a Remington 870 field gun, like a Wingmaster or something like that, in 50 years. The best you got is an 870 tactical. And all they did was cut the stock off of it and shorten the barrel. That's really all they did.
Remington hasn't come out with anything new in a long time.
No, not real. Like, innovation is not what they do. And that's like Remington and Winchester were neck and neck for American brands. Now, you could argue that Browning won the battle of the American firearm brands in many respects, right?
Like, not for rifles for a period of time.
No, not for rifles for a period of time.
I mean, any Marine would tell you the Remington 700 would. I did get the model number on that, right?
Yes, you
correct?
Did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that a Remington 700 was all you'd ever need in life.
Well, the Marines in some selected areas still use a modified Remington 700. So, I mean, it's not like it goes away, but Browning has more of that mystique. They command a better price. You know, they sell a lot of firearms, both pistols and rifles, and honestly, shotguns. You know, the Remington, rifles are the X-Bolt, the pistols. God, they have, I mean, they got pistols coming out their ears. But I mean, it's very difficult to, you know, with high-end shotguns, you've got the Satori. With bird guns, you've got the Maxis, or the Maxis 2, I guess now. And then they have a legendary shotgun, which I hesitate to mention because it is probably one of the most iconic in shotgun history, especially automatic shotgun history, and that's in the A5. So
even I know what that is.
Right. And it is and continues to be an industry leader. So, you know, between all of that, I would honestly say between the three iconic American brands, Browning probably has the edge there. Even though Winchester has the SX4, which is probably the world's fastest automatic shotgun, I think it still holds the world record with Steve Gould. There's a lot to be said for that stuff, but it's kind of weird to see it. You know, like people will flock to a Browning, no pun intended, flock to a Browning shotgun, no matter what they do, just because it's Browning. Even though the Maxis uses the SX4, like the Winchester raided Browning to their parts bin to assemble the SX4, and then Maxis went, yeah, that works. We'll just use that for our shotgun. And started using it. Because if you look at the bolt and the mechanism, it's the same freaking thing. Same piston, same bolt, same all of it. Because, of course, Winchester is part of Browning now. They're all kind of part of that whole big-ass family. So it was just a weird and interesting footnote that I found. But, yeah, the gun, there was nothing wrong with that gun. It was me.
This is almost weird. You know, all the guns that you've bought, you liked.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the stunning realization that I have purchased several firearms that I have enjoyed and liked to shoot in the last coming months, it's either a crazy topsy-turvy world where things don't make sense anymore, or I'm beginning to learn what I like in purchasing firearms. So I'm going to lean towards the world has gone crazy, because I know it can't be that I'm learning how to purchase what I prefer to shoot, because I make questionable and bad decisions about firearms all the time. But with that proviso out there, we're going to take the chance here to pause the podcast and roll for next time. We actually already have the next podcast in the can, so to speak, and should be coming out in the next few days here. But thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for listening. And we will see you next time.
On behalf of Jake Buona and I,
thank you for listening.
Thank you for downloading. If you're interested in more content like this or podcasts, check us out at hawkseyeguns.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.